Father, thank you so much for this time that we have to come together and reflect on you and reflect on the ways that we can be thankful for you and the things that you've done in our lives. I pray that as we get into your word this evening, that you speak to each and every one of us and that you bless us. And this can be just a sweet time of fellowship and reflection. We praise you for everything that you've done in our lives, for everything that you are doing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So something about me is I really love holiday decorations. Thanksgiving, Christmas, fall, you name it. I love holiday decorations. I tend not to go overboard in my home, just kind of hints here and there. But I love looking at people that go overboard or looking at the decorations, scrolling through Pinterest, seeing what people are posting on their Pinterest page, walking up and down the aisles of Target, the Dollar Tree, Hobby Lobby, you name it. I love looking at all the holiday decorations. And as I have been walking through and looking through the Thanksgiving specific decorations, I have noticed kind of four words that are constantly used on these decorations. And those words are gather, grateful, thankful, and blessed. And for me, and I feel like many of us here, we hear those words and we automatically go to the Christian foundation, the Christian connotation that these words have for us. But the world doesn't always interpret these words that way. They kind of just throw them around and say, it's Thanksgiving, we're gonna gather and be grateful, thankful, and blessed without the meaning behind it.
Together.
Yes, for us as Christians, when we hear the word gather, we think of this fellowship, of this unity, of this time that we're sharing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The world hears gather, and they think of, we're just going to have a get-together with some friends, some family, maybe some acquaintances, but there's not that significance or that Christ-centered fellowship there. We hear the words grateful, thankful, and blessed, and our minds automatically go to, God has blessed me, I'm grateful for him, I'm thankful for all these things that he has done in our life. And the world kind of just says those words without that meaning. They might go around the table on Thanksgiving and say why they're thankful and why they feel blessed, but they don't really know who's the one who's blessing them. And they don't really know maybe the reason that they're being thankful for. And the world's common use of these words of gather, grateful, thankful, and blessed during this time kind of can make them lack the importance that they have to the world. They just throw them around. And so the significance and the weight behind these words can be missed by the world. And I think it can often also tempt us as we're bombarded with these words during the Thanksgiving season to maybe forget a bit of their significance. But luckily, us Christians here today, we have true wisdom and true knowledge and the impact that these words hold for our lives. And when we celebrate Thanksgiving, we get to celebrate those words and celebrate what they mean with their true meaning behind them. Our passage today is going to be Colossians 2, verses 1 through 7. So let's read in Colossians 2, 1 through 4 to start with. And it says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." So in these verses, Paul is encouraging the church to find unity from their love for God and their love for others. But you know, this unity that he's talking about, it's not just a matter of love. Love is extremely important. But it's also this desire to grow together in knowledge and wisdom and in the understanding of God's truth. Our gatherings that we have here today as our women, our gatherings we have throughout the year, anytime we get together with our brothers and sisters, are definitely out of love for one another and love for Christ. You know, we are gathering with our sisters because we love our sisters and we love God. But a deeper portion of that is our desire to grow together in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of God's truth. When we have our discussions, our prayer time, our meetings, our whatever we have, every time we get together, that's what our focus is on. It's this fellowship with one another and this growing and this deeper understanding of the Lord. And so the world might be gathering out of love for one another. The world might gather with their family at Thanksgiving because they love them and they want to spend time with them. But this gathering is often lacking in love for God and the desire to grow in God's wisdom. And that's the difference that we see between these gatherings and the gather that the world says is a gathering and the gather that the world thinks about Thanksgiving and the gather that we have as Christians. Non-Christians lack an intimacy in God. Whereas we here today and when we gather with our brothers and sisters, we should be focused on the intimacy with the Lord and the intimacy with one another. And through that intimacy with God, we can find this true wisdom that's found only in Christ that will knit us together in love. And when we have false wisdom apart from Christ, there's going to be division. The world doesn't get their wisdom from Christ, and there's division all over. It's often a joke that you see played out on the media. People even joke about it in general that, you know, the holidays are a time of conflict within their family. Like, oh, I'm going to go home, and who knows what's going to happen at Thanksgiving, you know? And people expect this conflict. And the conflict comes because they're approaching the situations and approaching each other outside of God's wisdom and outside of God's love. We can only find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. He is the one who has them all. Now, it's not wrong for us to seek after wisdom and knowledge. In fact, we should seek after wisdom and knowledge. If you guys have been here on Sundays, we just finished the book of Proverbs, which is all about wisdom and knowledge. So I don't need to rehash that. But we should be seeking after that wisdom and knowledge. But we must seek it all in Jesus. When we are seeking it out of our insecurities, selfish motives, our pain, our pride, our hurt, or anything apart from Christ, we are creating division, hurt, and potentially discouraging not only ourselves, but our brothers and sisters. Because what we are talking about, what we are sharing, the way that we are living our life is outside of that wisdom in Christ. And unfortunately, when we become downcast and the world becomes downcast, the world, the flesh, and the devil will prey on the downcast Christians. And so these verses for us are an encouragement to stay united and to be on guard against deceivers who preach against finding wisdom and knowledge apart from Christ. Our wisdom and knowledge is only found in Christ. Let's read in verses 5 through 7. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So in verse 5, Paul talks about how he feels like he is with the church in spirit. And this is actually kind of a reference back to verse 1, where he talks about having this internal conflict. And that's because he's never met the church in person. He's never met the church of the Colossians in person. But even though he hasn't met them, he still feels like he is with them in spirit. And what he sees through his connection with them through the letters, through the prayer, what he sees is this church that was under attack, that people were trying to deceive them. And he affirms that their lines, everything about it like a military, so their lines were unbroken. Their discipline was intact, and their faith in Christ was unshaken. So even though people were coming against them, they were united as a front. They were unshaken, and these attacks, these deceptions, they didn't get to them. In the same way, we need to stand firm and unshakable when we are also under attack. When our faith, when our beliefs are being questioned, maybe when we are challenged to put our wisdom in things other than Christ, when you emotionally feel sad, depressed, insecure, angry, hurt, discouraged, we should not be moved because we have this faith and this identity that we can only have through Christ. So I'm the type of person who loves to kind of plan out my life. From the time I was young, as soon as I made my mind up on something, I was like, okay, this is what it's going to look like in 5 years. This is what I'm going to do. And when I first decided to go to school and major in psychology, my mind was set up, okay, if I'm going to go to Biola and if I'm going to get my psych degree, then I'm going to get my doctorate and I'm going to go to grad school and get my PhD in marriage and family therapy and, you know, really integrate the church with psychology, and this is what I'm going to do. And then unfortunately, around the time that I was graduating from undergraduate school, God started closing the doors on grad school and started saying, no, I don't have this for you right now. And I'm not gonna lie, that kind of shook me because, like I said, I had this plan. I knew this is what I'm gonna do with my life. This is where I'm gonna be. And it shook me because I was placing my wisdom and what I thought my life had to be and what my friends were telling me, the world was telling me, and what, you know, society was telling me that I had to do. I knew that I was called to some form of counseling, but everybody around me was telling me, if you want to do counseling, you have to have a PhD. And so when God closed the door on grad school, and he didn't close it for good, he just said, not right now, you know, it could happen again. But when God closed that door, I was shaken because my wisdom and my knowledge for my future was not placed in him. And very luckily, I had brothers and sisters who I was united with, who were able to help direct me and help show me where I was putting my knowledge and my wisdom for my future. But that short period of time, it wasn't very long, you know, it was only a couple of days where I was, you know, a little shaken. But that short period of time had tremendous impact, not only on myself, but on my relationships. I was engaged to Weston at this time, and I was incredibly emotional, just not sure what was going to happen, not sure what was going on. And he stayed strong and helped me and directed me through it. But it had an impact on me. It had an impact on him. It had an impact in the ministries I was serving in. It had an impact on my entire life for that short amount of time when my knowledge and wisdom for my future was not in Christ. But that's the beauty of having brothers and sisters around you, of having gatherings and people who you're united with, is that when you take a step off the path or when you slip, they can help guide you and put you back on the right path. And, you know, we can be encouraged in our salvation to walk with Christ, to be established in him, and to keep growing. Once my wisdom was re-put into Christ and the knowledge of what he had for my future, and the knowledge that even if he didn't call me to get my doctorate, he had things much better for my life. And let me tell you, I feel extraordinarily blessed by the way things have worked out, you know. And he quickly showed me the way that I could use the calling of counseling in my life. And he quickly showed me what he had for me. But that's because I had my wisdom and my knowledge in him. But once I placed it back in him, I was able to, you know, perk up a little bit. I was no longer shaken, and I was just walking this path firm and not moved by those doors closing. You know, our thanksgiving of God should be something that is naturally overflowing from us. Verse 7 talks about how we are rooted, we are built up, and we are abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving overflows from us. But let me tell you, when my wisdom wasn't in God, it was a little hard to be thankful for those closed doors. It was. But when my wisdom was put back into the Lord, that thanksgiving overflowed again. And every time something challenging comes up, every time God closes the door for us or says not yet, or maybe he gives us something, you know, every good and bad situation in our life, we can be abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in it, it naturally flows from us. And so right now, during this season, the world is gathering, they're offering their gratefulness and they're offering their thanksgiving. Again, but it's empty because it's without Christ. And so we as Christians can show them what these true gatherings, what true love, what true unity is. And we can show them who is the one who blesses them and who they can give their thanks for. Because when something goes wrong and you're not in Christ, it's so easy to be shaken. It's so easy to fall apart and to allow it to unravel you and unravel your life. But us here today who have a relationship with the Lord know that we can be thankful for him. When he answers our prayers, when he doesn't, when he makes us wait, and every single moment in between. Because we know the plan that he has for the world. And we know that whatever plan he has for our life, it's better than what we could have imagined. And even if it's harder than what we thought we would have liked, it's for his kingdom and for his purpose, which is better than what we wanted. Because our goal is to serve him and walk in his purpose. So this time of being thankful, of being grateful, of feeling blessed, and of gathering together, for the world, it's just a season. But for us, it is our lifestyle. We should constantly be gathering with our brothers and sisters and constantly be feeling grateful and thankful and blessed. So the spirit of thanksgiving, these intimate gatherings, and this thankful heart should be something that overflows from us every day. And I am incredibly grateful for you women and for my sisters at this church and my brothers at this church. Because this spirit of thanksgiving is something that is evident. And this time that we can come together and share an intimate conversation and share in fellowship is something that is so beautiful. And for me, our thanksgiving here today is so impactful. When I look around this room and I see this full table and I see people sitting in the chairs and I shared in this meal with you ladies, this is what the family of Christ is like. Us gathering around a table, sharing in a meal, blessing each other, sharing what God's doing in our lives. And so as we leave here, as we are interacting with people in the grocery store and Target, as we're picking up our holiday decorations, or even as we're having Thanksgiving with our non-saved family members, we need to interact with them in this way, with Christ at the front of our mind. And we need this spirit that the world has of thanksgiving that we are remembering today to always flow from us in our interactions with others. Let them see that this is not just a November thing. This is what life in Christ is. And so, again, ladies, I'm just standing here today and I just feel so grateful. I'm so grateful for each of you and the blessings that you are. And I encourage you to share those blessings with your family, with your friends, with those on the streets, because it's truly something special that the Lord has given each and every one of you. And it's something that can be so impactful during this time and during Christmas time, during every single season of your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the way that you interact in our lives, for the community that you have given us, and for the grace that you show us when our wisdom is placed not in you. And we thank you for the gentle correction you offer us to get us right back on the right track. We thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, for how you have picked our lives out for each and every one of us, and the plan that you have for us and the path that we are on. And even when things are challenging, or even when things are wonderful, we don't have to be overwhelmed by those emotions, because we know we are right where we are supposed to be, and that is following you. And we can be grateful for that. Grateful for the work that Christ did on the cross, and grateful for the way that that affects our day to day. I pray that as we leave here, as we leave our Thanksgiving dinner, that you help us continue to show the world what it truly, truly means to gather together. That you can help us show the world the intimacy that we have in you, and the intimacy that we can share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask that you help us outwardly express to everybody why we are grateful and why we are thankful and why we feel blessed, and that every word that flows from our mouth points back to you and is offered up to you, Lord, and that through that we can draw others to you as well. Thank you for this time that we have had together, for the wonderful meal, and for the fellowship. I pray that you bless the rest of our evening, and that you bless our conversations as while we are sharing with our sisters and while we are having this time together, Lord. Be with us, bless us, and get us home safely tonight in the dark. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.